What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Your Tennessee Titans are 7-5 after a huge win against the Indianapolis Colts on the road, 31-17. Unsung heroes Khalif Raymond with a huge touchdown catch. Ty Smith and Dane Cruikshank with a blocked field goal return for a touchdown. And the Tennessee Titans beat the Colts for just the second time in Indianapolis since 2007. It's the first blocked kick return for a blocked field goal return for a touchdown for the Titans since 2001. Almost 300 games have been played since that happened. So it doesn't matter how you do it, Derek. Obviously, Derek Henry is a big part of this conversation. And there's one guy that's not being talked about that I want to bring up. But it doesn't matter how you do it. What matters is this time of year, you get W's. And they've won three straight, 5 out of 6. 5-1 for Ryan Tannehill as a starter. Another incredibly efficient game for the quarterback, despite 6 sacks, a fumble, and some mistakes. But by and large, this offense running through Derrick Henry, it doesn't matter how you do it, Derek. It doesn't matter if you were injured. It doesn't matter if you were trailing in the third quarter. All that matters is the final score, and the Tennessee Titans are now 7-5, tied with the Steelers for the final wild card spot in the AFC.
Yeah, they the last 3 weeks of you know the Tennessee Titans schedule has been it's been a turnaround for them. You know, they went from averaging just under 20 points, I think, to averaging 23 now. They're right in the middle of the pack. So they're averaging a little under a touchdown more per game. And we thought that that's where they needed to be because of how their defense was playing. If they can just get an extra touchdown, then maybe they win some of these games that they're losing. And you look at the last 5 games, they're 4-1, last 6 games, they're 5-1, and they're averaging, you know, close to, you know, over 30 points a game, basically. So whatever they're doing as an offense, they need to continue to do, and that's run the football and play action pass. But, you know, they did struggle against Indianapolis. That 31 points was it, 7 of it was from, you know, special teams. So you're talking 24-17. And then Indianapolis did give them, you know, the interception that put them in good field position. So the offense still at times struggles. But what they're not doing is shooting themselves in the foot a lot. Yes, they had a few. They had some turnovers yesterday. Had 2, but they were able to overcome them because the defense, you know, got 2 turnovers. And then they got a return for a touchdown on the field goal. So, you know, there are still some things they can clean up. And they're going to have to clean them up because traveling to Oakland, then, you know, that hasn't been a good place for them, for the organization. Then they got probably one of the most high-powered offenses in the National Football League in New Orleans, and then they got to play Houston twice. Yikes. with Watson. And they might get J.J. Watt back, you know, toward the end of the season or in the playoffs.
I can't believe that's even a
story. Yeah, it's like crazy.
Yeah.
But, you know, this team is going to have to clean up those mistakes. You talked about them, the fumbles, the
sacks. Ryan Tannehill has been brilliant, and I don't want to overshadow the good that he has been for this team. The offense is totally different. They're 5-1 with him as a starter. He's number 1 in the NFL in yards per attempt. He's number 2 in quarterback rating, number 2 in completion percentage. He's been excellent. He also was sacked 6 times yesterday and has fumbled in every start for the Titans. The fumble regression is Derrick Henry's now dealing with it too. He's been great, but he's fumbled now in each of the last couple of games. He's fumbled too many times. So has Ryan Tannehill. Those things need to be cleaned up if you're going to keep this winning streak going. And it's not being negative on a positive day. That's what I can't stand about. Oh, why on a Monday after
it's
a big win?
It's calling it how it is.
You have to be aware of all of the things that take place, including the bad. And I just think this offense running through Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill throwing the ball, they've scored so many points in the last 3 games, and it's because Ryan Tannehill's not throwing the football. That's the key to this. Is I want efficient 20 attempts. I don't need 39 attempts. I want he had 18 attempts against the Chiefs. He had, 19 attempts against the Jags, and I think 22 yesterday. He's just not – like, that is the perfect amount of Ryan Tannehill. Mm-hmm. And as long as he's efficient in those attempts and Derrick Henry's running the football, this team is very hard to stop because the defense is good. You had all these small bit role players yesterday making big plays. Mm-hmm. The play call from Arthur Smith to Khalif Raymond was absolutely brilliant. Mike Vrabel said it was the best call of the year from his coordinator. They made all the plays they had to. Can you do that against New Orleans? Can you do that against Houston and survive? I still think there's a lot that remains to be seen.
Yeah, because, you know, they ran into it with Kansas City, and they got, you know, they had some bounces go their way, and they win that game. But they can't, you know, they can't consistently live this way, giving up sacks, you know, fumbling the football. And like you said, Derrick Henry, uncharacteristically, in the last 2 weeks has put the ball on the ground, and that's something that we didn't see much from him, you know, in years past. So those things they got to clean up, because, and I know people, like you said, people, oh, why we can't just be positive? Well, here's the thing: if they lose and those things that we are talking about now manifest itself again, y'all are going to be talking about them.
Right.
Oh, it happened two games ago, three right. games ago. No one said, well, we're telling you they need to straighten this up in order to continue to win football games.
Right. So if I sit here and rattle off all the great stats for Ryan Tannehill, for example, he, leading the NFL, and what I care about with quarterbacks is efficiency. If mm-hmm. you're going to throw the ball, it's like a shooting percentage in basketball. If you want to be Carmelo Anthony or Antoine Walker and score 25 points a game on 35 shots, go for it. That's not going to win you games. So Nick Foles, right, 47 passes against the Titans for 250 yards. It's wildly inefficient. What I care about is efficiency. How good are you on every single snap that you take? And right now, Ryan Tannehill has been incredibly efficient with the football every time he drops back. Like I said, 9.1 yards per attempt, leading the NFL. 113.9 quarterback rating, number two in the NFL. 72.7% completion percentage, number two in the NFL. How efficient are you with the football? And he's been great in those situations. I also can then follow that up and say all three of those are career highs for him and way above his career average, and you don't want to pay for that level of production when it's sort of the anomaly statistically. But that nobody wants to hear that right now because they're playing good football. Like, there will be a regression to the mean, I believe, with Ryan Tannehill. But if it doesn't happen until the end of the season, then who knows? Who cares? The same thing with Derrick Henry fumbling. The same thing with giving up too many sacks. There are things that still need to be worked out. And maybe they don't need to worry about him this year because maybe they're just going to keep winning. But right now, you enjoy the winning streak, but you got to refocus every week. And you got to say, you know what? We're not going to play against an offense that has all of its receivers injured.
No, you're right.
Right. Like, the Colts have all their dudes injured.
Everybody was gone.
It was the right game for Adoree Jackson and Malcolm Butler to not play. Right? Like, Adoree Jackson gets hurt yesterday. Malcolm Butler obviously out for the year. That's, you go up against Houston or New Orleans without Adoree Jackson and Malcolm Butler, it's a very different story than when you go up against the Colts, because right now they don't have T.Y. Hilton. They don't have Eric Ebron. They're out. They don't have Marlon Mack. They're missing all their best offensive skill players.
Well, I mean, even Oakland. Oakland has a good set of skill guys. You know, you can't continue to, you know, do these small things, because these small things will end up getting you beat versus better opponents. You know, Indy was an injured team, but you did exactly what you were supposed to do. You went down to Indianapolis and you kept your playoff hopes alive. I couldn't care less if all 22 of the starters were hurt. You still went down there and you still got the job done. That's all that matters. But you can't have those fumbles. You can't have those six sacks when you're playing against really good teams.
Yeah, that's all. That's all it is. It's a great win. It is a phenomenal win. And for now, the Titans are still alive. And that Absolutely. Is all that matters today. It doesn't mean there aren't other things to consider moving forward. AG wants to chime in. AG, what's up? Welcome to the show.
Yeah, I wanted to comment on, like, during the draft, we'd be so focused on the sexy pick, like, even far as signing the free agents. But the coach told us that if you got good players in the trenches, I'm referring to the offensive line, you can have a lot of players hurt and still play a decent game because you got a hell of an offensive line. So we need to be more focused on offensive line, defensive line, I believe, because like I said, if you got decent offensive line, defensive lines, you can play good with a lot of whatever kind of play, wide receivers and running backs injured. That's all I got.
No, yeah, thanks a lot, AJ. You're right, and that's one of the reasons why Indianapolis continues to find themselves in games and continue to win games despite having guys out, despite having T.Y. out, despite having Eric Ebron out, despite losing, you know, Marlon Mack. Why? Because they arguably have the best offensive line in the National Football League. So anybody they put at the running back position is going to get yardage, and they're not going to let their quarterback get hit, you know, sacked seven, eight times. That's just because they're built to protect from the offensive line on out.
Yep, absolutely. And the unsung heroes yesterday, I think a huge part of this story, Ty Smith had no snaps at any point during the season. He played 64 snaps yesterday and obviously returned the blocked field goal for a touchdown. Kareem Moore, I think, was number two in tackles yesterday with eight tackles. I don't believe he'd played a snap for this team previous to that and had 48 snaps yesterday. Jayon Brown was injured but came back into the game. You know, you got the injuries in the secondary. Corey Curtis brought it up. Austin Johnson with a big tackle for loss and a blocked field goal. So just a lot of guys.
Cody Hollister.
Yeah,
I'm like, who
catches.
Is this dude?
He caught two. He had two catches. Khalif Raymond with the biggest play of the game to lay out and on a perfect call and a perfect throw from Tannehill, lays out and makes a huge play to basically put the game away. I mean, it was about roster depth yesterday, which leads me to one guy that we have not talked a lot about. And there's one guy that needs to get some credit for all this. And we'll do that, and we'll explain when we return. Morning Drive, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. This week, Penalty Box Radio hits the streets. Join Justin Bradford and Glenn Blackwell this Wednesday as they broadcast live from the Cherokee Steakhouse located at 450 Cherokee Dock Road in Lebanon from 8 to 9 p.m. Preds, of course, they beat the Carolina Hurricanes. First time in seven tries in Carolina. They win 3-0 on Friday evening. Come back Saturday, lose to the Panthers. A very good Florida team, 3-0 in that one. Pecorine was great on Friday night. They lose to Vegas in heartbreaking fashion on Wednesday. We'll get to all that coming up in just a few minutes. Darren McFarland going to join us, of course, at the top of the 9 o'clock hour. But there's one name of when we talk Titans, and I'm watching yesterday, and it started before the game, Derek, so I already had like a preconceived thought process about this individual going into the game. And then as I'm watching the game play out yesterday and I'm seeing Ty Smith and Kareem Orr and Khalif Raymond and Austin Johnson and all these depth pieces, you know, Kamale Correa played a bunch of snaps yesterday. I'm watching all these depth pieces. I'm watching Harold Landry develop. I'm watching Logan Ryan make huge plays. Kevin Byard make huge plays. The guy that keeps coming to mind through all of this, through quarterback controversies, through changing head coaches, the guy that I keep coming back to on this, and we can pick apart a lot of his decisions. He hasn't made great decisions every single time, but by and large, he's been very, very good. The Tennessee Titans have played meaningful football games every single December since the day John Robinson took over. John Robinson took over. He's made mistakes. Kevin Dodd, you know, some free agent signings that we think maybe are he paid too much for. Big Raj has been a big point of contention this season. Say whatever you want about this franchise. 9-7, not able to get over the hump, the coaching change, whatever. John Robinson has created a competitive franchise. Since the day he showed up, he traded for DeMarco Murray. They immediately went 9-7, and they've been competitive ever since. They now have a winning record again this year. John Robinson is the architect of all of this. And I thought yesterday his fingerprints were all over that win.
Yeah, it was.
He traded for Ryan Tannehill and got the Miami Dolphins to pay for most of it.
No, you look at the moves that John has made. Now, there's been some whiffs with some guys that are just not panning out at this particular moment. But then, you know, it's sort of an even balance with him. He's had his share of, maybe you shouldn't have did that, but then he has his share of guys that have been productive. Logan Ryan, Now Ryan Tannehill.
His trades have been largely very effective.
Yeah.
His draft picks, he's been pretty good.
But he's had some guys in there that has been
sure.
like, ugh.
But you don't hit on everybody in the draft. But Jayon Brown is a gem. Kevin Byard is a gem. Mm-hmm. Jonnu Smith has turned out to be better than we anticipated. Mm-hmm. Certainly Corey Davis and Adoree Jackson, that draft class is going to be heavily scrutinized.
Exactly.
Jeffrey Simmons is clearly the real deal. Harold Landry and Rashawn Evans are clearly the real deal. Like, you go down the list, and the free agency is the one area that I think you can point some fingers and say, all right, did you spend a little too much for that guy? Benny Logan, Sylvester Williams, Roger Saffold. The Josh Klein contract comes to mind. He has not been as good in free agency.
Mm-hmm.
But yesterday, the guys that he has filled the roster with at the bottom of that group are the guys that made the plays. And obviously he's paid Kevin Byard and Taylor Lewan. Those are huge decisions from a general manager. But by and large, this team, like, however you want to paint the organization, the coaching change from Mularkey mm-hmm. to Vrabel, whatever, they went from a not competitive franchise, not playing any meaningful football games in December at all, mm-hmm. to now four straight years of every year, I know that I'm going to sit down as a Titans fan and I'm going to see competitive, interesting, meaningful football games in December. That is still a step in the right direction from where they were before.
Yeah. This team, they've had their ebb and flows with the organization. For many years, they were playoffs and competitive. They had a drought where, you know, it seemed like the organization and everything about the organization was going the wrong way. I think they started to change things around when they decided to hire Mike Munchak as their head coach. They slowly start changing things because they got back to the identity of who they were.
Mularkey, you mean?
No, Munchak. Okay. When they hired Munchak first. And Munch is the one that wanted to get back. He opened up the doors to guys coming back in. You know, he made everybody feel as if they were still part of the organization. He got some changes going, but they chose to go another direction with Mularkey after that. And Mularkey took what Munchak was trying to build and said, you know what, this is who we are going to be. We're going to be a smash mouth, play hard-nosed defense. We're going to call it exotic smash mouth football. Well, not many people like that because it wasn't sexy. They wasn't throwing the ball. They were not throwing the ball 40 times a game.
And now that's what they're doing.
And now that's what they're doing. But at one point, and Corey brought it up, and I mean, you can go look this up yourself. They were on this road of they had won a bunch of games in the Mike Mularkey era. Where they were averaging over 30 points per game. I think it was like a 6 or 7, 8 week span where they were averaging 30 points a game. But people didn't like that. You know why? Because it wasn't sexy enough. Well, they tried to get sexy, and what happened to them last year? It didn't work.
Yeah.
So now this year they're getting back to who they are. Smash mouth, exotic. Now people like it. Why? Because they changed the quarterback. That's why. No.
I agree with you.
But that's why.
I agree with you. And let's be honest, he's been better.
Like, yeah, Tannehill has been better.
Been
absolutely.
Better.
But this is what they have been trying to do when Marcus was at the helm, is be a run team. But everyone thought, nah, Marcus is drafted second overall. He needs to throw the football.
Yeah.
Well, no, that's not how we're going to win. We're not built that way. Well, now they've gotten back to how they were built, and they're playing the type of football that the Titans are accustomed to playing. I've always said this about organizations. If you look back to, you know, the 60s, the Pittsburgh Steelers, what did they do? What was their DNA? What was their foundation? Running a football, defense. Even today, I know they throw the ball around a lot with Ben Roethlisberger, but they run the football and they play really good defense. When they wasn't playing defense, they wasn't winning games. They wasn't winning as many games. They wasn't going to the playoffs. They're starting to play defense and run the football. Well, that's who the Titans are. Play defense, run the ball, play action.
Yep.
That's how you're going to win.
Yep. 59 pass attempts for Ryan Tannehill in the last three games, three wins, 68 rushing attempts for Derrick Henry. If your running back has got more carries than your quarterback has pass attempts, that's your identity. That's mm-hmm. you are, and Derrick Henry has delivered almost 500 yards rushing in three games. He goes over, what does he have, 149 yesterday? I mean, just an outstanding performance by him. It's 30 points in three consecutive games for the first time since 2016. You're able to run the football with Derrick Henry, which, again, allows Ryan Tannehill to be more efficient. Now, the six sacks and the fumbles are a concern, as we talked about last segment, but at this point, you ride the wave. You keep giving the ball to Derrick Henry. I don't know why the game plan would change against Oakland. Oakland is not, you know, Oakland is, what have they been outscored, like 75 to like 10 in the last two games against the Jets and Chiefs? I mean, Oakland's been atrocious the last two. Oh, sorry, Marquise.
It's been a rough weekend. Man.
Sorry,
man. I forgot about
your Raiders fandom. But
Lakers lost too, by the way.
34-3. Shut up. They're like 17-3. The Raiders lose 34-3 to the Jets 2 weeks ago, and then 40-9 yesterday to the Chiefs.
It was awful. Yeah,
they're not. Talk about two teams trending in a very different direction right now. That are going to play this weekend. You can't rest on any of this stuff. You got to keep doing what you're doing if you're the Titans. I just think John Robinson, and it struck me before the game yesterday, as I was excited to sit down and watch a Titans game.
Yeah,
like just having like as a non fan, I obviously want to see my city do well, so I'm rooting for the team to do well. I would like to see them do well, but I'm not a fan of the team. The idea that I have something interesting to sit down and watch, to me, is the credit. That credit goes to Amy Adams Strunk and John Robinson, because John Robinson has systematically improved this roster 1-53 over the last four seasons. Every step of the way, he's continuing to build a better and better roster.
I enjoy it. I mean, I am a fan of the team. I'm a fan of the organization. I want them to do well, and I'm not going to apologize for that. But we are going to, if they're not playing well, we're going to say they're not playing well.
Right.
And you're right. Everyone's bought in, from the head coach, assistant coaches, to the owners. Everyone's bought in to how they're going to build this roster. Now, whether it continues to work out or not, whether they make the playoffs or not, I mean, we will know at the end of the season. But I think because everyone's bought into how they want to win, I think it works. Do they have to add other pieces? Yes. Do certain guys need to play a little bit better? Absolutely, for the most part. But I think because of everyone's on the same page, then this franchise will continue to move forward, unless they have, like, you know, catastrophic injuries or something like that that just kind of derails the season.
And I think while we're in it right now, enjoy it. Because
exactly.
We don't have any idea what the offseason will bring. We have no idea what they're going to do at the quarterback position. Ryan Tannehill is probably making himself a boatload of money. I still don't know if he's the right guy to pay a huge contract to. Somebody else might pay more. Do you draft and start a rookie? Does that set your franchise back a couple of years? Who knows? There's so much more to discuss with all of this. And John Robinson has some very difficult decisions coming in the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
But yesterday just struck me at the beginning and the end that because of leadership at this organization that they have not had in the past, in particular ownership and GM, I am sitting down on Sundays now to watch meaningful football games every single Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
The Dallas Cowboys are 6-6. The Kansas City Chiefs are 8-4. They're one game better than you if you're a Titans fan.
And you beat them.
The Bills are a game away from being in the leader of their division.
Right. And so you just, the NFL is so close. You are a couple of plays away from being 6-10 or 10-6.
Yeah.
And Floyd says it all the time. Everybody's 8-8 and you're a couple plays away from being good, or you're a couple plays away from being bad.
Mm-hmm.
And right now they're making those plays. That 4th-and-1 call from Mike Vrabel, that I thought was going to be the decision yesterday, where we all looked around and said, oh God, what is he going to do here?
Yeah, that play, I'm like,
normally you kick the field goal.
Yeah.
Normally you'd kick the field goal in that situation. Instead, he goes for it. Derrick Henry delivers and picks up not only the first down, but a touchdown in that situation. So I just think there's a belief. There's a buy-in. It's about Tannehill. It's about the depth on the roster. It's about the complete performance on offense and defense. You know, Derrick Henry's bought in, clearly, over the last 16 games. He's got almost 2,000 yards from scrimmage over his last 16 games. I mean, he's on pace to have over 1,500 yards rushing this season.
He's third in the NFL right now, I believe, in rushing.
And if he gets up over 1,500, he probably passes Eddie George for second all-time in Tennessee Titans history. Chris Johnson, of course, the single-season rushing record holder for the Titans. There's all these positive things. It's just I have to give credit. I was finding myself yesterday saying, oh, Ty Hill's making a huge play, John Robinson. Khalif Raymond makes a huge catch, John Robinson. Now, Vrabel gets credit, too.
Exactly.
The coaching staff gets credit, too. But the fact that this organization is playing meaningful games for 4 years straight in the month of December, I think that credit.
What more could you ask?
I think that credit goes to John Robinson, because I've lived here for 20 plus years before the Titans got here, and it wasn't always the case. There was a couple years when you played where you guys were playing in meaningful games every year, and then there wasn't.
Yeah, it kind of kind of disappeared. It was up and down with the organization.
The Nashville Predators. What is going on with the Nashville Predators? Big win on Friday night, loss on Saturday, but the story continues to be one unused player who was healthy scratched again. We'll get to that when we return right here on Morning Drive. Derek Mason, Braden Gall here on Morning Drive. Marquise Munson, his time to shine coming up in about 10 minutes. Stick to sports. Interesting.
We got a good one, too, for Stick to Sports.
Yeah, yeah, city councilman involved in this
one.
Yeah,
he thought Alabama had a crappy weekend. You ain't seen nothing yet.
I see what you did there, Munson.
Oh, you ain't heard nothing yet.
I see what you did there.
Ain't here, like,
yeah, I don't think we can play it. I don't think we can play it.
Oh, my goodness.
But we will discuss it. There is no question about that. Smelly situation here in Nashville.
Crappy situation.
St. Louis. So the Nashville Predators, they beat the defending Stanley Cup champs twice in a row, Saturday and Monday of last week. You go 4-2, 3-2 in a shootout. You take 4 points from St. Louis. Then you come back against Vegas, and in heartbreaking fashion, you lose to Vegas 4-3 in overtime. You pick up a point. You bounce back on Friday. The Predators go on the road, and they beat the Carolina Hurricanes. And, of course, that's a place in a building where they have struggled mightily against Peter Laviolette's former team. But they go in there, and they win 3-0. Pecorine, his 350th win. Congratulations. 28th career shutout. It was their first win in Carolina in seven tries. And they got a W. They were feeling great. You're thinking, all right, 7 out of 8. They do lay a bit of an egg on Saturday night against the Florida Panthers, a team that's actually, right now, I think, second in their division. So you get shut out 3-0 by them. But you have picked up 7 out of 10 possible points since the losing streak. UC Saros, I don't know if he's a starting goaltender or not right now, but he started 4 of the last 5 games. Mm-hmm. And he's started most of the wins outside of the win against Carolina. Are we watching a changing the guard? Who knows? We'll find out. But the story continues to be with this Predators team because it's now December, and you know we're still not even close to the trade deadline, not even close to the halfway mark of the NHL season. There's still so much more to go. That the story isn't necessarily that they've now got X amount of points or an X position or they're X points back of the wild card or whatever. That stuff isn't really as relevant. The idea that your $6 million center, Kyle Turris, is still being scratched for, what is it now, 7 consecutive games, that is going to be a big story. David Poile over the weekend or last week addressing this entire conversation, saying, listen, it basically explaining Peter Laviolette's answers to questions about this, where Peter tends to be a bit cheeky and, you know, maybe a little childish by just saying it's a lineup decision. I've already answered that question. It's a lineup. He's very Belichickian in those answers. David Poile expanded on that a little bit but basically saying, listen, you know, I think things can change. Kyle Turris will get in that lineup. Hopefully he takes advantage of it. But right now it's just purely who gives us the best team to win every single night. That's fine. They can say that to us all they want to, but that's not going to satisfy what the fans want to hear, which is why? Why does Kyle Turris being on the bench and getting $6 million to sit on the bench as a healthy scratch when you are now without Victor Arvidsson? Why does he not give you the best chance to win? That is the question people want to know. And as honest and as likable as David Poile is, which he is, I liked his answer. Sure, he gave us the answer. What I want from the coaching staff on this is why does Kyle Turris not give you the best chance to win? I can speculate. I can sit here and say, I don't think he plays in the dirty areas very well. I don't think he stands in front of the net very well. We can make assumptions about this. But the reason the fans are upset about this situation is they would like to know why Kyle Turris is on the bench.
And again, I just go back to, because you read what Poile said earlier, and I just go back to, you know, a sentence, sort of a paragraph. He said, I am very confident that Kyle's going to get a chance to play. Okay, eventually, yeah, you hope so. Hopefully, he's in a position to take advantage of it, and we turn the page on this. So, again, this tells me when he says he's in a position to take advantage of it, it's telling me something like mentally. Will he be mentally ready to play when he gets his shot? or is he going to be the guy that continues to, you know, behind the scene, woe is me, and why are they doing this to me, and yada, yada, yada. And really, he's not bought into.
And I don't think that's a problem.
I'm just saying. But when this is said, hopefully he's in a position to take advantage of it.
Right.
To me, it has more than, because I've always said it's the coach's job or the coordinator's job, whoever, is to put the players in a position to succeed. So if you're saying I hope he's in a position to take advantage of it, then isn't that up to Lavi to put him in a position to succeed? And then your attitude helps with that.
Right, right.
So I think he's more so talking about his attitude. Once he gets on the ice, hopefully his attitude is right that he could take advantage of a situation.
And Kyle Turris doesn't want to be traded. He wants to be in Nashville. His wife has said that openly. He has answered every question as sort of politically correctly as he possibly can. I don't have any questions about Kyle Turris's attitude. He's certainly disappointed right now. There's no question.
But and rightfully so.
Right. And I don't have any. But that's the thing, is if he came out there and they put him in the lineup, I would assume that he would play very hard. The question is to me, and again, this is my question to Peter Laviolette. Yeah, dude, we get it, man. He's not in the lineup. It's a lineup decision. We get it, man. What we want to know is, why does Daniel Carr give you a better chance to win?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you believe that Matthew Olivier gives you a better chance to win? Why do you believe those things? And unless there's some great mystery about personality conflicts that's been completely covered up, which we don't think is the case, otherwise there's no other explanation. You owe an explanation as to why this individual does not help your team win. Because if you're trying to trade him, don't you need to put him on the ice and show him to people? It's not like he was playing terribly this season. Again, my personal assumption on this is they need to be a more physical team that plays in the dirty areas, and Kyle Turris doesn't do that particularly well. You played him at wing all preseason. Why hasn't he been tried at wing? You're not even going to try him at wing? He clearly wasn't good enough at that?
But my thing is...
You're not answering any of these questions.
Yeah, but in this 7-game slide you're on, did he probably, factor into,
some of those losses?
Yeah, probably
sure.
So.
Sure.
But I think the team just wasn't playing well.
Yeah, they weren't good.
Everybody. So has he become the scapegoat? I don't know. Hmm. But you're not letting anybody.
Yeah, and the other funny thing from Poile, and this was tongue-in-cheek, but I thought this was funny because it's kind of a shot at the fans, but it's David Poile, so he's not really capable of being mean. He said, quote, "I'm pretty sure last year there were a lot of people that weren't really in Kyle Turris's corner, and now he's not playing, and it appears to me that everybody's in his corner." There is some fickle flip-flopping with fans on Kyle Turris who were ripping on the guy last year for not being good, and now that he's not helping you and he's on the bench, now you're screaming about why Kyle Turris is being mistreated. So there's a little bit of hypocrisy with fans.
But
fans are allowed to be that
way. Yeah, but I think the fans feel this way because, they saw a different player when he was playing. Now, granted, it wasn't perfect.
Sure.
But they saw a different player. And they just thought, okay, he's better than he was last year. Obviously, he's gotten the message. And then all of a sudden, he's not playing anymore.
At the end of the – until this is – and it sounds like he's going to get back in the lineup at some point. Until he's back into the lineup and we can see what he does on the ice or see what he doesn't do well on the ice or – Laviolette explains why he doesn't give them a better chance to win or why on any given night maybe he does and that's why he's in the lineup. Mm-hmm. And the people are going to still keep asking the questions and fans are still going to want to know. So the spotlight has been placed on this issue because of your decision-making, Coach Laviolette, and we respect that. I got no problem with the decision to do it. I just think you owe the fans an explanation further than it's a lineup decision.
Well, just keep winning and I think everybody forget about it.
Yeah. Well, 100%. If you win, it's fine. But
exactly.
There are teams that are going to be in need of an offensive top six forward in the next couple of weeks, next couple of months before the deadline.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Turris, I'm not saying you're not going to have to pay some of the salary or, basically it's a salary dump to trade him. I'm not saying you're going to get a lot in return, but you could move the guy for something. So,
but haven't, I mean, speculations have been they've been trying to trade him for the longest,
and not a lot of takers.
Exactly. So, what makes you think now, when he's not playing, someone's going to take him.
Teams start to get more desperate as it gets closer, closer to the deadline.
Right.
Injuries can pile up. You know, the Montreal Canadiens have lost like eight straight, and they're getting a little bit more desperate. So things like that can happen and can change the dynamic of the marketplace. And but you know what helps is a guy on the ice scoring goals, maybe putting stuff on film. So who knows? We shall see. Until further notice, Kyle Turris is still a healthy scratch, and nobody really knows why other than lineup decision. On to Cincinnati. When we come back, we're on to Stick to Sports. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. NFL fans, don't miss Nashville's best NFL pregame show. Start your morning off with the kickoff from 11 to 1 p.m., followed by the NFL pregame show, of course, on Sunday, featuring Jared Stillman, Floyd Reese, and Chris Sanders live from George Jones downtown on 2nd Avenue this Sunday from 1 to 3 p.m. prior to the Titans taking on the Oakland Raiders. The NFL pregame show is brought to you by Wholesale Inc., powered by RumbleOn.com, Kubota Tractors, Middle Tennessee Kubota Dealers, and Boom Boz Craft Pizza and Tap House.
The world is a crazy place.
Crazy sounding pretty good right now.
Let's lighten the mood.
After all that seriousness, you're just going to crumple it up and throw it in the trash.
And stick to sports. And now, on Morning Drive.
All right. Stick to Sports is brought to you by the good folks at Decorated Den Interior. Stick with the pros at Decorated Den when you are ready to decorate your home. Single men, men that are moving here to Nashville because you're moving here every day, and maybe you and your significant other don't have the time to decorate your new place, your new cute place, whether it's in East Nashville, West Nashville, North Nashville, South Nashville, or outside of Nashville. Go see Bonnie, and she will hook you up, best believe. One of the best in the business. Request a complimentary appointment online at decoratingden.com.
Number one.
All right, fellas, let's talk about this situation because I didn't have this happen before. Not go on Facebook Live while, you know, this situation in general. But when you have your phone in your pocket, you, it kind of just does things on its own. It calls people. It FaceTimes people.
Call it butt calling.
Yeah, butt dial.
Sometimes you can butt dial a reporter, admit to criminal activity.
Yeah, you can do that.
Absolutely.
I don't know how that happens, but it does.
But one thing I've never done is accidentally.
Too much scotch, maybe.
Is accidentally Facebook Live. Now, apparently, there is a Metro Council member by the name of Steve Glover, who who Facebook Live, but he wasn't doing this to, you know, campaign for something or tell the good people of Nashville about what's going on in his you know, district. No, he was in the bathroom. He accidentally was on Facebook Live while
it's clearly accidental.
The bathroom. He was using the bathroom
and it wasn't number one.
And it wasn't number one. He was in there. Let's just say the video is 3 minutes and over 3 minutes. So he definitely ain't using the number one. Yep. And he's on Facebook Live and doesn't realize he's on Facebook Live.
Wow.
And people can hear what he's doing
in
the bathroom.
Which is pooping.
And then it's not, it's just not a regular poop.
What I don't understand is like the whole butt dial thing now with phones. How is that even possible?
You still...
Like, do you know how you have to, like, you have to swipe and put in your code and a facial recognition
Then
you got to open an app and then you got to push a button to go live. Like, I don't know. How does your butt cheek do, like, six things on your phone to where this kind of thing happens?
Well, if you are in... Say if you've just made a call and you don't get out of it. You just hang it up. You don't actually get out of the number, the keypad or the contact. You can accidentally, you know, set it down and... put something on it, put your hand on it or something, not realizing you end up dialing. You can just be talking. And sometimes Siri, like my son did it the other day. He was with his mom and his sister, and he grabbed his sister's phone and he told his sister's phone to call dad. But his phone ended up dialing me. He didn't realize it. You know, and I'm like, Derek. And I just eventually hung up after about 20 seconds. And I was like, Derek, he ended up calling me later. I said, you called me? He said, no, I didn't. I was like, yes, you did check your phone. He was like, oh, I was telling Bailey's phone to call dad, and my phone ended up calling. So it can be done.
But that's him physically doing something.
Well, see, here's the thing.
Like, he's like trying to do something. He just did something wrong.
But it went to his phone and not his sister's phone.
Okay.
And he didn't have his phone in his hand.
What I'm saying is this particular, first of all, I've seen the, if you... Unfortunately,
just go see the video.
Unfortunately, I watched all of the video to the end where he finally realizes that he's on Facebook Live and he pulls it up and he's clearly sitting on the throne.
And he has on a Bama shirt.
And of course he's an Alabama fan. But he pulls up his phone and he finally has himself on the frame, right? Uh-huh. Like he's shooting the Periscope Live or the Facebook Live or whatever. I just want to know, like, how many buttons do you have to push to launch your Facebook Live?
Two. I just did it. Well, I didn't go on Facebook Live, but so...
Yeah, but how do you unlock your phone and then do
all
these...
Maybe his phone was
like,
never locked. Maybe he was looking at Facebook before he went in the bathroom.
You stupid boomers. Lock your damn phones.
Yeah, so there's right. There's two steps.
Like, there's no chance that my phone could ever do any of that stuff in my pocket. There's just no way.
I mean, it could.
The only way it unlocks is my facial recognition, or I punch in a 6-digit code.
But if you don't lock it, that's what he did. If you don't lock it and it's just in your pocket, just shifting around, like you might get on Facebook.
Or he probably was on Facebook prior to going to the bathroom.
Because this is how I know that, because I did some investigation. I left the small details out about the Alabama polo for a reason. But I can tell because in the beginning of the video, it's very dark. So that means his phone was in his pocket the entire time.
Yeah.
So he doesn't know that it's, shifting around in there. And it takes two steps. You got to hit Facebook Live, and then you have to put start live video. And that's how you get on Facebook Live. So apparently, I guess he just threw his phone in his pocket.
We're still on Facebook.
Yep. He dropped the trousers, and I guess it was shifting around in his pocket, and then all of a sudden he started live. Because the first few minutes is like dark because his phone's in his pocket.
Something was shifting in his belly, I tell you that.
Oh, my God.
Whatever he ate, I do not want to eat. Because,
it's about the 1.5-minute mark you find out and you hear exactly what's happening in the bathroom.
Yeah. I know you've seen Dumb and Dumber. That's basically what it sounds like.
Yes.
when he was on the toilet.
And that's how he looks when he's trying to close his because he's still, like, working on how to end his Facebook Live.
But
struggling.
Like a friend told me yesterday that
said, you go and do something like that
sent
and
me.
Totally redeem yourself.
They said he might as well own up to it so it can go viral.
You might as well.
Might as well own up to it, laugh at himself so it can go viral now.
Sounded like he had a virus.
Hi.
Yeah, it did.
I'm Councilman Glover. He puts his foot on a rock. I'm Councilman Glover. Have you ever been in a crappy situation?
Wow, that has to be embarrassing. Can anybody, if you had a friend like that, somebody that was maybe your boss or somebody you were in business with or whatnot, and that went out publicly, could you then talk to them with a straight face?
I mean... You have to laugh about it.
You have to
just own it and laugh about it.
Like, you just got
to
own it. Like,
yeah, you do.
It happens. Like, you just got to, you can't lie. If you deny it, then it just makes you look even dumber.
Yeah.
But, all you got to do is like, look, man, I had to go, right? Alabama just lost to Auburn. I had a lot of Dreamland barbecue, I had to go. So, maybe that's what the case was.
Yeah,
so.
I don't know.
Number two.
Vote for me, folks. I'll do a load of work for you.
All right, so speaking of love, now a quick, Thanksgiving update. Now, we talked about this on Wednesday when you were out, because I don't like pie. I don't eat pie. I just don't like the taste of pie.
You still have not explained why.
I just don't like pie. Like, it's not been my thing.
Is it the crust?
Like, I think it's the crust more so. It's the crust.
Because, what's in a cake and what's in a pie is basically the same thing. Sugar.
Yeah.
I mean, it's basically just sugar and, like, maybe a flavoring of some sort.
But I prefer cake. So
cake is way better than pie.
Yeah, and cake is awesome. So, and I told...
You're eating sweet potato pie.
Oh, yeah. And I told D-Mace and...
Chocolate Corey, pecan pie.
No, sweet potato. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
We're just arguing over here about
debate.
Pie.
So I told them that my grandma normally... And it's mostly every time I go into town, she bakes me a cake.
Uh-huh.
Like a chocolate cake. Because she knows I like chocolate cake. And, I'll take it home with me and I'll eat it or whatever. So I walk in the house. I smell cornbread cooking. I'm like, I know it's about to go down. I said, Grandma, is that the cake? She was like, no, that's cornbread. But I got your cake in there. But your mother, she looked at... My mom's also in the kitchen, bought vanilla cake.
Oh,
And then mom was like... He a grown man. Like, who cares what he can eat vanilla, he eat what we buy. He didn't bring nothing.
And
it's funny because as I'm eating the cake, I'm watching football and I'm eating the vanilla cake. My grandma comes in there. She's like, she calls me grandbaby. She's like, grandbaby, the cake tastes good. And I was like, yes, ma'am, it tastes good. It's like, too bad it couldn't have been chocolate. And looked at my mom like, and just kept on going. But Mama messed it up for everybody, man. Like, she tried to just change stuff.
Yeah, one job,
without,
mama.
She tries to change stuff up all the time. Uh-huh. Like, she's like, well, the boy always eat chocolate. Let's give him some vanilla. I'm like, no, just keep it simple, mom. Like,
listen, when you're in grandma's kitchen, Mm-hmm. Don't change nothing.
If grandma put chocolate on the list, you get chocolate cake.
Yeah.
Don't bring back
You
the
don't
milk.
Venture outside of what grandma... you don't venture outside the list. If it's collard greens, damn it, get collard greens. No turnips, no mustard. Get collard greens, okay?
Oh, man.
I mean, the idea of going from chocolate to vanilla cake in my household mm-hmm. is probably grounds for being kicked out of the family.
Not really.
I mean, like...
I am
a chocolate guy all the way.
Yeah, I love chocolate cake.
I'm chocolate, love it. Chocolate yeah. anything. My mom made chocolate pecan pie, and I'm uh-huh. telling y'all, if y'all hadn't had chocolate pecan
I've
pie,
had it. It's good.
It is ridiculous.
Pecan pie is good. Regardless.
Pecan pie is awesome, but you go chocolate with it, uh-huh. it's next level. We go a little bit of pumpkin pie just for the girls and mm-hmm. for like the tradition, but like there better be no vanilla cake in my family.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I like all flavors, but you know.
But I think eating vanilla cake is like a uh-huh. wasted opportunity.
Yeah, I don't see
it's what it is because it could have been chocolate. It's like having a slice of cheese pizza. It's good. It's better than most food. Uh-huh. But all it was for me was a missed opportunity to eat a real piece of pizza with a bunch of meat and vegetables yeah, exactly. on it.
I've always said that if you are a
well done
restaurant
in
the city, Nashville, wherever, especially if you pride yourself on your food, your high end restaurant. If you don't have chocolate cake, then you should get an F. You should slap a big F
yeah,
on the front
Yeah, but you know
door.
These chefs, they do all these fancy yes. weird desserts now, right? At these nice restaurants.
But chocolate cake should be a staple. You can do your fancy stuff.
Okay.
You know, fancy schmancy.
I don't ever
But
order
have a chocolate cake.
Do you order? I know you have a crazy sweet tooth. Do you yeah. order dessert when you go to dinner?
Not really, nah. Because to me, desserts are overpriced.
It's like a waste of $9.
Yeah, it's like if it's not chocolate cake and restaurants. If it's chocolate cake, please give me the ability to have that chocolate cake warmed up. Don't say got chocolate cake and it's just cold. That ain't chocolate cake, okay? That's just a frozen piece of chocolate.
Yeah, pretty much.
Give me chocolate cake that I can warm up, that you can warm up in the oven for me. And some ice cream on the side.
Like when you're taking it home?
No. In restaurants, I've been to restaurants where some of them do warm it up for you, but then some of them just bring it out to you cold. It's like, I don't like cold chocolate cake.
See, I like it both fresh and hot out of the oven and cold.
That's what I'm saying.
Cold. I'm good both ways.
No, give me some ice cream while it's nice and warm.
I'll go room temperature. I'll go cold. I do like putting my cake in the refrigerator and my wife
I'm in
thinks
heaven
it's weird.
Right now.
My wife thinks it's weird that I put my like cupcakes and cakes in the refrigerator.
Seriously?
I don't like them when they're cold.
I like it when it's hot and warm too, but I'm not going to put it back in the oven. That's mm-hmm. too much work for me. I'm just going to eat the cake cuz generally it's like 10:30 at night and I shouldn't be eating it anyway. And no one's around. I'm trying to sneak the cake anyway.
You try to summon
yeah, like before my wife walks back into the room, I'm like, "She back there?" "Oh, what are you doing?" Sneaking some cake real fast. But a true test of a cookie? I think the true test of a cookie, because I don't like hard cookies.
Uh-huh.
Anything that's crunchy on a cookie, bad cookie. The true test of a cookie is, can you put it in the fridge and it still be chewy?
Ooh.
If you can put a cookie in the fridge and you pull it right out of the fridge and take a bite and it's still soft and chewy, mm-hmm. that means somebody made a good cookie.
Oh, yeah.
Hi, I'm Councilman Glover. Have you had a chocolate cake in the past 24 hours?
You almost got that one out.
He did.
You almost got that one out. You felt so good about that
one. I was
going
waiting
into
on it. I wrote that down during the break.
Hello, Tennessee. My name is Councilman Glover. Vote for me. I'm the... Can't say that word.
Yeah.
On the air.
Well, I mean, that's kind of just politics in general. Right?
Titans with a huge win. 7-5 now and in a tie for the final wild card. We'll get to that victory when we return. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love, with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.